Okay, folks, we're slim pickings again this morning. We're glad to have Ling back with us, and Stephen, and Joanne, all the way from nearly halfway around the world. We're very pleased to see you this morning. Amen. And of course, Christy and Norman. We're always pleased to see Christy and Norman too. Amen. Right. And of course, that goes without saying. But we're going to begin with a wee word of prayer. So let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, even though we have all this wind and rain, we've still got a wee bit of sunshine this morning too. Lord, it's great to be in your house. I just pray, Lord, I wish that more were able to be here. Lord, we miss Pat and Steve and Esther, and we know they're just not keeping 100% right now. We miss Frank too, but he's in a different country, so please watch over him. For Carol and John, and for Stephen, please watch over them. And for Will too, Lord. But Father, please be one of our number, and please be with anybody that gets to hear this message, the folks on the Maboy Road, Stephen and Anne Marie and Carol and Harry and Marie and Norman and Noel and Joan and Jane and Corey, for Henry and Evelyn, for Sally, for Kate, especially Lord for Alan and Pearl, for Maslam and Georgina, Lord, for anybody that we get a chance to point to the foot of the cross, to remind about sin and judgment to come, I pray you please for your good hand upon them. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, that we have the freedom to meet together, to worship and praise you. And Lord, I just pray that you would be one of our number, that you would help us to understand the reading, the preaching. Lord, that you would find the lifting up of our praises and prayers acceptable in your sight. Bless us and keep us and watch over us, and not only us, Lord. Thank especially on Brother Stan and Sister Karen and the folks in Bangor. For Brother Cosgrave in the States right now and his family in the Philippines. Lord, for Christian Institute, for Kids for Schools, for Open Doors and Christian Outreach, Lord. For, oh Lord, you know, your children are too numerous for just for one person to mention. Please, I pray you be with each and every one of us. Lord, we love you and thank you. We ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. We're going to begin with 259 this morning, if you'd like to take your hymn books and turn there. 259. Big red or green hymn books. 259. It is Jesus Saves.
We have heard the joyful song,
Jesus saves,
Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around,
Jesus saves,
Jesus saves. Bear the news.
Softly through the gloom,
when the heart for mercy
Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves, this our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Amen. Now, it's not very often we chop and change, but we're going to do that this morning. If you want to take the wee black hymn books next, we haven't sung this for a little bit. Number 4 in it is Holy, Holy, Holy. Hymn number 4 in the little black books. The reading, brother, if you would.
The reading this morning is from the book of Colossians, chapter 2. For I would that you know what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches, of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joined and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of thy principality and power. In him also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, and by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him, through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting ordinances that was against you, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect, or on a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and hands, having nourishment ministered, and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed I show of wisdom in will, worship, and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honour to the satisfying of the flesh. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Norm. Just want to remind everybody about our little yellow prayer list. It hasn't been updated. We are going to, unless things start changing very, very quickly, we're going to do one every fortnight from now on. If you have something that you would like for us all to pray about, let us know. Let us know the details if you want. If you have a private prayer request that you would like us to pray about but don't want to give the details, let us know that too. The Lord knows what it is, and we can, he tells us to keep coming before him and reminding him. But in the meantime, this is Joanne, whom we've been praying for a long time, for years, and especially now as she goes to have her baby, within the next week, although hopefully not within the next hour or 2 hours. And her father, Stephen, is over being her bodyguard. We're very glad to have them. And we're glad to see Ling back as well. an answer to prayer with no ill effects from possible exposure to people who had been exposed to this flu virus that we're all, that our nation, that the world is suffering through at the moment. So please do continue to pray for Joanne and her up and coming baby. Amen. Amen. It's always good to have good news, and we will keep praying about that. We do miss Pat and Steve. We do miss Esther and Will and Frank this morning, and Carol and John. So please do pray for them. Various medical problems and one thing and another. Please do also remember all the folks that we mentioned as part of our CD ministry. And Maslam and Georgina Fleckner, and they have children that need our prayers. Private prayer requests. Does anybody have a private prayer request that they would just want everyone to pray about? Nope. Norman? Okay. Ling? Okay. Lord knows what those are, and we'll just, like the unjust judge, we'll just keep coming before him, and we will just keep bringing them to his attention. Thank you for that. Will also has private prayer requests, as do I and Monica. I think that's really about that. I would ask that you would pray for me. My shoulder is still giving me a lot of bother. It just seems to be one thing after another at the moment, but I'm hoping for a clear spot in the near future. So please do remember that. Lastly, there are some elections going on in the US at the moment between President Trump and VP Biden, there you go, I'm doing a Biden at the front of the church, how's about that, forgetting everything. I'm not going to nod off to sleep, but there's a lot of things going on there, a lot of wickedness. And supposedly the freest nation on the earth, please do pray for the whole of America. And not just for America, but for here, for Boris Johnson, for Nicola Sturgeon, for Arlene Foster. I don't know who looks after Wales. Who's the head of Wales? Nobody said Jonah. But whoever's there, for China, for Europe, for North and South Korea, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, goodness, for Russia. We are in interesting times, times that the Bible spoke of thousands of years ago that have only actually been possible in these last couple of hundred years. So please do pray for the world, but especially for Israel. I think that's about that. Please do pray for our countrymen and our townsmen as well, if that's the right phrase. I know that with everything that's going on, one of the things that suffers most is not our physical well-being, because everybody here looks pretty well fed and watered and rested, but is our mental well-being and the relationships that we have with each other and especially with God. They are suffering a lot with these restrictions that all of the governments are putting into place. So please do pray about that as well. Don't be afraid to be in touch with people. Amen. All right, Christy, I'm going to let you lead us in a wee word of prayer, and then we will sing another song. Thank you, brother.
Father, thank you today for your goodness, for salvation, Lord. We thank you for your grace, for your new mercies every morning. Lord, thank you for the service thus far, for the reading, Lord, and the hymns, for Lord, each head that's bowed in your presence is one. We ask that you'd work amongst us, Lord, that you'd be with the preacher, especially this time, Lord, that you would guide his words, his thoughts, Lord, just clear the decks of his mind of all but what you would have him say this morning. Lord, we pray a touch from heaven, Lord, wisdom from heaven, Lord, and Holy Ghost power as well. Remember those that couldn't be here, Lord, that are sick and cast down, Lord, and are struggling with health battles, Lord, and time of battles too, that you'd, Lord, provision each situation. And we pray for prayer requests of your children as well, Lord, that you'd intervene, Lord, and just provide, we pray. Lord, save our lost friends and our family, Lord, please. Lord,
yes, Lord.
Call back backsliders as well, and we know, and Lord, who once graced the door of this building, Lord, as well. We pray for their restoration of fellowship too. Lord, help us, use us, we pray, guide us in your will, Lord, and just accomplish your will amongst us this morning, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Christy. Amen. Let's take our hymn books again, the big ones this time. And if you would, turn with me to, let me see, there you are, hymn number 281. 281, and that is Pass Me Not, Gentle Savior. And if you're able, you can stand as we sing.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at the throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit, save me by thy grace. Spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. You can put the big hymn book away and take the little one out again. And then after we sing this one and your vocal cords are well exercised, I'm going to exercise mine for, I was going to say for 15 or 20 minutes, but this is the house of the Lord, and we're not telling any wild stories for at least a half an hour. But, amen. Immortal, invisible, God only wise is hymn number 11 in that little book.
Accessible, hid from our eyes.
Put your hymn books away for a little bit, and if you have your Bible with you, turn to Psalms, the very first of the Psalms, just about smack dab in the middle of the Bible. We're going to read these first two Psalms, Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. You're very welcome just to listen. I'm not claiming to be the most eloquent of speakers, but every word will be, I hope, pronounced clearly. And you can follow along and you can look at the words of God, or you can look at my ugly mug at the front of the church. It's entirely up to you. We're in Psalm 1. Want to spend a little bit of time this morning on the subject of cutting off your nose. Cutting off your nose to spite your face. Psalm 1. The Word of God says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Amen. We are going to look at verses 1, 2, 3 and 4 of Psalm 2. Those are going to be our main verses this morning, but the other verses in the previous chapter, Psalm 1, that we were reading, they give us an idea of why the Lord is saying these things. So let's have another word of prayer, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, we thank you again. Thank you for all the prayer requests that have been lifted up. We just pray you, Father, for wisdom and for understanding now as we spend this time in your word. And I just pray you too, Lord, we were mentioning a whole bunch of names earlier on, but just pray you, Lord, for Eddie and Anne and their grandson Mason as well. Please be one of our number. I pray you, Lord, for the words to say. I pray you, Lord, for ears to hear them and for hearts to understand them. And I pray you, Father, please, that you would be one of our number, that you would just walk up and down the hall here this morning, that you would minister to each one of us. Lord, if we need comfort, if we need wisdom, if we need
a chastening, straightening out. Father, please supply our daily spiritual needs. Lord, we love you and thank you. Please, Lord, I pray you inspire the preachers and teachers of the full counsel of your word the world over. And Father, we ask this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. I am sure we have spoken on these portions of Scripture many, many times. They are a little bit special to me. Not the least of the reasons for that is because many times whenever I would go to visit wee Rita, she knew these verses. And as she lay in her bed, unable literally to do anything for herself except remember the Word of God, she would repeat them along with me as I read them, and I do believe they were a great comfort for her. They are very, very well-known verses, and even though they were set to paper nearly 3,000 years ago, you would think, with the way people are behaving in the world today, that someone had written them for a news broadcast for this morning. As we look at these verses, we see the psalmist, that is David, King David, of David and Goliath fame, giving us the differences, not just physical differences or life differences between a saved and a lost man, but also God's reactions to men and women and boys and girls that love him, and to men and women and boys and girls that not just are ignorant of him, but outright oppose him and hate him, and what God thinks about those things. Psalm 1 tells us that a man that loves the Lord will behave differently to a man that doesn't. He's not going to listen to what people that hate God say. He's not going to live his life by that. And he's not going to hang around with them. And he is not going to make the same decisions as them. He is going to be different. He is going to delight himself in the Word of God. And I want for you to know the Word of God sometimes can be hard to read. There are days, and I have had them, whenever I have this, not romantic image, but pleasurable image in my mind of just getting a cup of tea and sitting in the porch with the sun outside with my Bible on my knee and just reading a couple of chapters of the Word of God. And yet there are other days where it seems like the devil has the phone going constantly, the front door going constantly, the farmers going up and down the field outside making all sorts of ungodly noises and leaving some really, really ungodly smells behind them sometimes. Sometimes it's a battle. Sometimes it's a war. But whether it's easy to do or difficult to do, we should still strive to do it. And the Lord says that he'll look after you if that is your mind. Not just to follow God when it's easy, but to follow God. And that's it. Full stop, with no extra excuses or reasons as to why you shouldn't. God says, I'll bless you. And you're not just talking about, a big pile of 20-pound notes will not just appear posted through your letterbox, although I'm sure things like that have happened in Christian circles, or that your groceries will suddenly appear at your front door, although I am sure that that has happened in Christian circles. And that even reminds me of a story of a wee woman. It was in America, and she used to thank the Lord for everything. And her neighbor didn't like God one little bit. And so for a lark one day, he bought her a week's worth of groceries and he set them at her front door and he waited behind the hedge and she came out and she said, thank you, Lord, for all these groceries. And this man popped out and said, it wasn't God, it was me. And she said, and for using this godless heathen to deliver them. God works in people's lives. But the greatest thing that we have a need for is not money and is not stuff, although if you pulled the stuff all out of my pockets, the pen knives, the flashlights, the glasses, the wallet, you would think sometimes it is. Our greatest need is not for those things, but to walk and talk with God, to be a companion, a servant to the King of Kings. And I know that doesn't sit well. But God says, you can be happier, more content, and you will be better off as a servant of God than a king in this world. It goes on to say in the last three verses of Psalm 1 that the life of a lost soul of a Christ rejecter is not a good one. It definitely is not. They stand against God. They will not stand with God. They will disappear, and in the endless ages of eternity, no one will remember them. Now, many times we read the chapters of Psalms, and indeed all of the books of the Bible, as separate, completely separate. But God has explained the life of a Christian, the walk of a person that loves the Lord, and he has also explained the life and the end of a person that doesn't walk with God. And then he poses this question at the start of Psalm 2. So why do people hate God? Why do they imagine that everything is going to be okay? Why are people Christ rejecters? Why do they believe stupid, harmful, self-destructive things? Why do they want to continually break God's laws? Laws that if everybody in the world subscribed, say, for instance, to Islam, there would still be fighting amongst them. They would still be looking for a reason to rise to the top, to justify themselves in the sight of Allah. For one of the easiest ways in the teaching of Islam to get to heaven is with the blood of infidels on your hands. And if everybody is subscribing to that, the infidels are going to run out really, really quick. And there's a lot of Muslims who are not going to get into eternity. But if everyone subscribed to Hinduism, to the worship of Kali, the goddess of death, there would be bands of people roving about looking for strangers to offer up in ritual sacrifice to Kali, people that they just didn't know. And there are many others. Outright Satan worship or selfishness sacrifices everything and everybody else on the altar of what that person wants. But if everybody was to subscribe to the teachings of Christianity, everybody would get a fair hearing. Everybody, as they say in this neck of the woods, would get a fair shake. And so God says, why do people want to keep breaking my laws? Why do people want to disobey, to hate me? The Lord says, for every soul that sets themselves as my enemy, I just have to laugh at them. I just have to laugh. In fact, I was thinking on one or two of the things that God compares us to. Saved souls are referred to as his soldiers, as his servants, as his children, or as even his little brothers in Christ. That's what we are referred to. Lost souls are referred to as grasshoppers and ants and things like that as well. And never his children, never his servants, never his friends, never his brethren. Can you imagine a little ant coming up to you and shaking one of his little feelers at you and threatening you and saying, I am going to kill you. I am going to bring about the destruction of everything. One little ant
Can you imagine that you would even have to be squinting at to look at? Because an ant sometimes, in this country, they're not even a centimetre long. And even as he rages, you just put your finger on him like that and squash him. And you laugh about it. Because you know he is your enemy. And he is going to do everything he can. But his power is so tiny compared to yours. That he poses no threat whatsoever. Can you imagine people threatening God? The Bible says, and he says, it's not going to end well for them. The big thing that sets a person at odds with God is rejecting his Son Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the one thing that sets a person at odds with God. Because God has molded the whole of his creation around his Son. The prophecies, the examples, the Word of God even. It's all about Jesus. It's about Jesus making everything, setting people in the world to grow and to come to know and to love him. It's about Jesus coming back to provide a sacrifice so that every single one of them can be reconciled to God, can come back to God. Goodness gracious me, why would you want to say no to that? God didn't charge for it. God never said there is a limit on how many people I can take. He said, he wants all men everywhere to come to know him as Savior. I have created the perfect way for you to do that. That's free. So why would you turn it down? Well, I think the devil, or at least the thoughts that roll through his head, will give us the simple answer to that is because people want to set the rules down for themselves. They want to be like God and they want to get to heaven their own way. Isaiah chapter 14. The solution is, in verses, the last three verses of Psalms, is to wise up, sharpen yourself up, and serve the Lord. And if you ever do make a mistake, do you see what it says? Kiss the Son, lest you perish, when his anger is kindled a little. Do you ever, whenever you were little, did your mummy or daddy ever come after you with a wooden spoon or a slipper? I know Ling's smiling and Norman's smiling. If they ever came after you with a stick, even if it was only a foot and a half or 2 foot long, do you know which part of the stick moves the fastest? It's the bit at the far end. It's the bit that's farthest away from the hand. So if you know you're going to get a smack, the best thing to do is run close to the person. But they can't get that bit that maybe moves at 30 miles an hour when your hand's swinging. It might be moving at 50 or 60 miles an hour at the end of that piece of stick. You don't want to get hit with that bit. So you draw close to the person. Don't run from Christ whenever He grabs you by the ear and says, you and me have a wee bit of business to do. He's not going to destroy you, Christian. He wants to make you a better Christian. I know that most sermons and most messages can be summed up two messages. One is getting right with God. In other words, making sure your soul is safe and secure in his hands. And the second one is keeping right with God. In other words, walking and talking with him, because it's great to know that you're going to live forever in heaven. But unless you're going to heaven right there and then, there's still a few turns of that little hand on the clock to live through before you get there. So it's also good to know that you can live for God in this world in a way that will please him, in a way that will give you his company and his blessing and his wisdom and his power and his comfort and his purpose right here and now. But the real question is, why do people, and as even as we think about this, Why do people behave in such a manner as to hurt themselves, to cut off their own noses, to spite their face? In other words, to go about some course of action that is going to bring them nothing but hurt for no good reason. Why do people live like that? Is it because God holds each one of us responsible for our own actions? Is it? Regardless of what the law of the land says. I think it was about 2.5 or 3 years ago, we went to visit Monica's folks in America. And as we were going over there, was it that or was it 1.5 years ago? I think it was 2.5 years ago, the capital of, or not the capital, the American embassy was moved to Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. And that caused such a stink. 2.5. And then we went back 1.5 years ago, and when we were going back, everyone was thinking about the south of Ireland and their stance on abortion. One of the most, in quotes, religious countries in the world that's supposed to value the lives of children voted to kill their children in the womb. I hope this isn't cutting close to the knuckle, forgive me, it just is. And I thought, that's awful. Surely the north of Ireland will be a much more conservative place. I remember standing in the church and thanking the Lord that Northern Ireland still hadn't accepted homosexual marriage or still hadn't accepted abortions. And sure enough, by hook or by crook, the devil forced abortion upon us and forced gay marriage upon us. It doesn't matter about the law of the land. If it flies in the face of the laws of God, we are not to follow them. And I am thankful we live in a country that makes it easy to do that. The Bible says we shouldn't. It is contrary to our mental, our spiritual, and our physical well-being. So why is it that people reject God? I've just had a thought on abortion. I'd like to share it with you. A lot of people say we should have our reproductive rights. You do. When you conceive a baby, you have reproduced. That is your right. But you don't have the right to take that little baby's life. That is murder. Anyway, do people reject God's law because it makes them feel bad? Do you know what? I bet that if I stood up here long enough and listed enough sins, one of them would prick your conscience. But I pray as you sit here in church and even read the Bible with a good heart and a good mind, that you think, well, God loves me. And if he tells me something that makes me feel uncomfortable, it's because I'm wrong. Not the Bible, me. But a lot of people don't want to think about that. Oh, I don't like Christians and I don't like church because the minister's always talking about smoking and drinking and sleeping around, and that just makes me feel bad because I love to do those things. Therefore, God is evil. And there is no, not even the tiniest of flicker of consideration that you might be in the wrong and the word of God might be right. Or do people reject God because the word of God shows us that we are tiny little creatures. We are so limited, so small, and yet so loved by God Almighty. We want to be gods in our own right. Is that not what the devil says in Isaiah 14? I will be like the Most High. Is it because that whenever we follow God, we'll have less money to spend? Because, like, after all, the church is always after your money. But you show me anybody that loves a thing, and they have no problem dropping lots of money on the thing that they love. I used to love computers, and every month there would be new parts to buy, or a new processor to get, more memory to have, a faster video card, a bigger monitor. And I said, I'll have to get that, and then my life will be perfect. And I thought, you know what? I have like four computers in various stages of disassemblement. Or in parts anyway. And life's just exactly the same. So I stopped buying the magazine and saved myself a fortune. All these wee boy racers, they have no problem dropping thousands of pounds in parts to stick in a car. People that love to party and love the crack, as they say here, they have no problem paying a cover charge and for a night's drinking and eating out in a pub, maybe to the tune of hundreds of pounds. People always find money to give to their God. Another reason that we don't like to obey God is because it shows us that we're wrong. We want to make the rules. So when God says that thou shalt not, and the world, the flesh, and the devil comes along saying, well, surely he didn't mean that. We go with the world, the flesh, and the devil because it appeals to us. It appeals to our pleasures. It appeals to our popularity, our power, or it increases the possessions, the things we have in our pockets. And yet, you know what? Have you ever looked at the lives of football players, of movie stars, of politicians? Have you seen how filthy and immoral so many of those people are? Have you seen the ends of those souls? So many of them at the bottom of a bottle, a pill bottle, an alcohol bottle, or at the end of a rope. That is no life to lead, friends. But that is the life that not having God will give you. I think many people think that just like God, we're going to live forever just the way we are, and we don't actually realize that the ends of our lives can come very unexpectedly if you're not careful. And I say that with a very unfortunate personal experience over the past year. It can come very quickly and an awful lot sooner than just about everybody ever expects. People tend to follow the God that they're raised up with. Drinking's okay. We think that all of the things that we do will never bring any consequences in our direction. So we keep doing them. And all the while we're taking those scissors and cutting another wee nip off of our noses. And before long we look like something out of a horror movie. So people drink. Even when God says not to drink. There's only one place in the Word of God where it says you can drink. And that is to dull the pains that you experience before you die. That's the only place in the Bible. Other times it's warnings of the stupid things that people get up to whenever they've got a bit of drink in them, or as it's so succinctly explained in our modern language, when the drink is in, the wit is out, and the stupid decisions that are made. We think the problems that the drinking brings to people, the destroyed livers and kidneys and stomachs and minds and every single bit of tissue that alcohol touches, we think that's going to happen to somebody else. And just like it says, the leaders and kings and rulers of the world, when everybody gets together, when we consider all of the people that do these things, we think that 5 or 10% that's going to have a sorry end is always somebody else. Someday it's going to be us if we're not careful. We sleep around. We lie. We cheat. We steal. We kill. We blaspheme. We curse. We covet. And all the rest. And we think just... Do you ever see any of those nature programs? Where you've got the pride of lions and there's three or four hiding in the long grass over here. And there's some hiding in the long grass over there. And then there's a lioness that comes along this way. And the slower gazelle, it gets separated a wee bit from the herd. And then all of a sudden the lions jump up and they get that one. All the time that gazelle, that antelope thinks it'll always happen to somebody else. But eventually it happens to them. Consequences for the way we live and the things we do will always come home. For the smoker. Oh, I'll never get cancer. Oh, no, that'll happen to... Oh, I remember my aunt that lived till she was 90 and she smoked 20 packets a day. How long would she have lived if she hadn't smoked? I could take you to the door of a wee woman right now that has to gasp for every breath of air, whose lungs are literally rotted away in her chest. And it's not a pleasant way to live. What about people that live loose, immoral lives? Oh, I'll never get any disease. I'll never sire a child. I'll never get pregnant. It's okay in the right place. I'll never get AIDS. That happens to the 5 or 10%. And that'll never happen to me. But the clinics and the beds and the maternity wards are full of people that never thought they would be there. I'll never get caught stealing, murdering. Do you know what? Every single criminal, if they thought for a moment that they would be caught carrying out their crime, they wouldn't do it. But prisons are full of criminals. The clinics are full of people with diseases. Or the drug user. I'll never get addicted. That only happens to the weak-willed. I'm going to use my wife as an example because she loves drugs.
Coffee.
This particular one is called caffeine. And her sister loves it too. And I remember I would say to her, Monica, what's with the coffee? She says, I love the flavour. And that's, I drink it for the taste. I drink it for the taste. And then if she didn't get a cup of coffee or two for a while there, she would actually have gotten quite ratty. Not very bad, but noticeably different in her temperament. Has anybody got a spare bed that I can sleep in? And then we went over to visit her family. And she has a sister that loved Diet Coke. With all that aspartame in it. Her name's Nina. Keep praying for her. And we had the same discussion. I said, Nina, Diet Coke, diet anything is very, very bad for you. She says, I drink it for the taste. And we all broke out laughing. You might not think there's any harm in Diet Coke, but Nina was almost diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Was it multiple sclerosis? Because every time she drank Diet Coke, the phenylalanine in it gave her the shakes and numbness in her fingers, and it was actually making her very, very ill. And eventually she had to say, you were right, Mark, whenever you told me that. People think it'll never happen to them. But it does, friends. You might not suffer from alcoholism, or you might not get cancer. You might not end up with a sexually transmitted disease, or a child out of wedlock, or AIDS, or anything like that. You might not even be caught after robbing a bank or killing somebody. But I can guarantee you that every single consequence for your actions will be visited upon you when you stand in front of God. God, I never got saved because I knew I wouldn't be able to drink. God, I never got saved because I knew I wouldn't be able to sleep around the country or do drugs or smoke or use bad language. So I never got saved. And God will say the consequences for you choosing those things over me is that you are not coming into the New Jerusalem. Your name is not recorded in my book of life. You are not going to heaven. You have chosen to go to hell. Over the backs of all my prophets, my preachers, my word, my creation, and even the words of my son. You are going to hell because you chose to go. You're not hurting me, God will say. You're not making me any less God. But you have robbed yourself of an eternity of rest and a glorified body.
with the company of angels and other Christians, and even God Almighty himself, all of whom love you and wanted the best for you, even held up your name, called your name out, and every time it was, I tapped you on the shoulder and I said to you, would you not like to go to heaven? Would you not like to know me now as your friend, as your redeemer, as your savior, as your Lord, instead of your judge, your jury, and executioner? You are not hurting me. Whenever you put a few miles in the clock, you get sort of a bit of life experience. You get to see things a bit more clearly. One of the things, one of the analogies that I used to make, I would be thinking about those trees. Everybody remember the big trees? Just looked at the ivy crawling up them and choking them as they go. But if you look just down there, there's a wee power line pole. It's about 30 foot tall. And the power runs along it into the back of the church. And one time, one of my cats came into that house. And there's two big dogs. They're literally about that size. They're about 2.5 feet tall, big Alsatians. They chased it. And they would have torn it to bits and eaten it if they'd caught it. But that thing climbed up the telegraph pole. And it sat there because it was safe. Until the owner came and got the dogs. Whenever that cat was up that pole, it clung on with its little claws for dear life. And it didn't come down. Because it knew if it went to the ground, it was dead. And I got to thinking about all the people who climb up telegraph poles, who climb up trees to escape the dangers that's on the ground. And then when they're sitting on that tree, on a branch, safe and sound, away up there, God speaks to them and says, right, you're safe. I have enabled you to be safe. Would you not get saved? Would you not trust me? Would you not do things my way? And the person takes a saw out of their pocket and says, I'm going to fix you, God. I'm going to cut this branch off this tree, and that will fix you and all your salvation. All the things that you promised me, I'm going to fix you. So they start sawing. And God says, you know what's going to happen to you, don't you? I'm going to fix you, God. And they saw and they saw and they saw. And as the branch starts to break and then they fall, and it's only when they hit the ground they realize, that was a bit stupid, wasn't it? When it's far too late, when if the fall hasn't killed them, certainly the dogs that are gnawing round the bottom of the tree certainly will. Friends, God begs with us and pleads with us not to cut off our own noses to spite our face, to listen to him. Hands up here, who drives? I know Christy drives and Norman and Link. Do you drive, John? Stephen, do you drive? Do you have a rev counter that tells you how hard the engine's working in your car? Yeah. Is it a dial or a number? If you ever look at it, it's in white in my car until you get up to about 4,000 revs and then it goes into the red. And do you know what that means? It means the car can run that hard, but not for very long before it injures or damages the engine. And that red bit is where the sin is in our lives. And we might get away with it for a little bit here and now, but there'll come a day when the damage will be too much and the engine we'll just stop. We'll kill ourselves with our bad life decisions. God says, stop. I am not here to ruin your fun. I am not here to be a killjoy. I came to seek and to save that which is lost, which is you. You and me and everybody else. Whether they love God, whether they hate God, God came to save them. And anybody that rejects the free, paid for, forever, for sure gift of eternal life is only hurting themselves. God doesn't want it. If you ever got an Airfix model, a model kit, or a chainsaw, or a car, you get a manual with it. Shows you how to put it together. Tells you what does what buttons to press. Everything that you need for proper operation, for proper assembly. And if you don't have a look at them, all you're doing is making trouble for yourself down the road. God gave us one of those when he kept and preserved his word in the face of this world. That King James Bible, that word of God, that will see you right. Give it a shot. Do it God's way. See if it's not cleaner and better, easier on the conscience and on the mind and on the body than doing it the world's way. He loves you the bits and he wants the very, very best for you. So try it his way. Amen. We'll stop there. Thank you very much for your good time. Much appreciated. We'll finish off with a hymn. Hymn number 13 in the wee books, the wee black book. That's Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Hymn number 13 in the wee black books. And we'll stand as we sing. Good time and attention. It was good to have you. I heard singing from the front row, which is it's unusual for visitors to the church, but we're very glad to hear it. Thank you for coming. Thank you each one of you for being here. Please don't forget those that couldn't be here. We're going to be finished with a word of prayer, so let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Lord, we thank you for this little bit of time that we're still allowed to have together in your house, around your word. Lord, please bless this time that we've spent here. I pray you, Lord, even now that as we go our separate ways, that we would choose to walk with you and to talk with you and to obey you and to do things your way, Lord, and just see for ourselves if they're not better.
Bless us as we go. Please look after Joanne and her dad, Stephen, especially as they wait for the birth of this wee baby. And I pray you, please, Lord, that you would just make sure everything goes according to your will. We love you and thank you. And we pray all this, Lord, as well as for our private prayer requests. We pray them all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Thank you for your good time. We are finished. Amen. Thank you.